is The Fantasy Show with Sho Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, Canada. Sho Ali, Matt Marchese with you. Week 6 in the NFL is here as we discuss start sits for every single game, injury news and notes, and of course your tweets at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89, and of course, as always, the People's Text Line at 590-590, name and location. We'll answer all of your texts at 590-590 at the top of the next hour. But Matt Marchese alongside me as usual. Good morning, Matt. And so before we get to any football stuff today, Matt, I have to ask, did you watch any baseball yesterday? Like literally any baseball whatsoever. Like I feel like I might be a prisoner of the moment, but I think last night might be the wildest, like the entire day really, might be the wildest individual day of baseball we have seen in some time. I know that's like being like, yeah, prisoner of the moment, you know, recency bias, but I'm curious, did you watch any of it yesterday?
I actually didn't. I was in college football mode yesterday. Saturdays is usually, my wife hates it because it's Saturday and Sunday. It's just all football. Weekend, and then when it gets to nighttime, it's hockey. But no, I didn't watch any baseball, but I did have an eye on it. And I know that things got a little hairy yesterday as it pertains to the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Yeah, the Phillies complete the win over the Braves. The Phillies move on to the NLCS. The Astros win an 18-inning marathon over the Mariners. The only run in that game was a Jeremy Peña solo home run, I think, in the top of the 18th inning. Yankees-Guardians, that series was tied at 1. Oscar Gonzalez walks off the Yankees with a 2-run single in the bottom of the 9th. Guardians take a 2-1 series lead. So if the Guardians win today, the rest of the playoffs are now set and the Yankees would get bounced. And then the Padres, the late game, the Padres come back from down 3 runs. They score 5 times in the bottom of the 7th. The Padres beat the 111-win Dodgers and go to the NLCS for the first time, I think, in 24 years, which is pretty crazy. I want to say like the last time the Padres played at Petco Park on the West Coast, I think there were no fans. I think it was the 2020, like that 60-game, the shortened season for the pandemic. So it was the first time they played at Petco Park in front of fans. And after the game last night, I stayed up until 2 a.m. Eastern. I literally slept for like 3 hours just so I could watch all of the playoff baseball. And at the end of the game, Blake Snell was running around the field holding a plastic goose, just kind of pointing to it above his head. It was pretty great. Like I admit, like the chaos of baseball can get a little much sometimes, but man, this is like we live in the most chaotic timeline for playoff baseball, and I'm here for it. It makes me feel better about the Blue Jays, at least. I'll say that much.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is that like I've always maintained that the Major League Baseball playoffs, I actually think, are very underrated in terms of the drama, and I think it's one of the most dramatic things. I'm a baseball guy, but I'm a football and hockey guy first and foremost. So when that stuff's on, I'm absolutely glued in. Some might call me a little bit of a degenerate, but regardless of that fact, many. I've been called worse, but yeah, and so. And so I think that in those moments, like I know the game between the Seattle-Houston game, I think that was the one that was, it was 0-0 for literally ever.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like those games are insane. I don't know how, like that would be so difficult to try and watch that if you're a fan, because there's literally nothing else going on. And it's like, oh my God, like, are they ever going to score a run? And you never want it to be your, because if you've sat for that long and your team loses, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, I really sat through like, you know, 16 innings and this is what I get after all that. This is what my reward is for sitting through this. And so you just hate to be on the losing side of one of those. And as a player, especially.
Yeah, I think Luis Garcia, who is one of the starters usually for the Houston Astros, I think he pitched the final five innings of that game yesterday, which is pretty crazy considering it was an 18-inning game. But yeah, it was wild. If you haven't seen any of the highlights of that stuff, I strongly recommend it because it was truly wild stuff. It was a lot of fun. I'm not a huge college football guy. Like I'll watch like YouTube highlights around draft time, but I have heard that I was watching some of the highlights on Sportsnet Central while we were waiting for the show to start today. And yeah, I saw the highlights of like Alabama, Tennessee, and it looked pretty crazy also. So I look forward to one of the things I do enjoy doing in a fantasy show, Matt, is closer to, you know, maybe right after the Super Bowl, closer to draft time, which usually is in April. So in between February and April, doing like draft previews and so on. It's pretty fun. And I mean, a lot of these guys go on to become fantasy football relevant, obviously, right? So I am very much looking forward to it. Like, I wonder what, like, Caleb Williams out of USC is going to look like next year when we're talking about the draft, for example.
Yeah, and that's, like, I'll be upfront and honest. Part of the reason, a big reason why I watch college football is because I bet on it, like a degen. So, and that's where, like, yesterday I was glued to TCU, Oklahoma State. Before that, it was the game between Oklahoma and now I'm blanking on who Oklahoma was playing yesterday. And so anyway, I'm betting, you know, spreads and point totals and this and that. And I got really locked in, and we were actually at my wife's grandparents' place last night for her cousin and her grandmother's birthday. And everybody is like in the dining room or wherever in the family room. Like, my daughter takes up most of the attention now, so nobody even notices that I'm there, which is probably a good thing. And myself and my wife's uncle were in the kitchen, and I'm just yelling away at the TCU Oklahoma State game because I needed TCU to win by 2.5 points. And turns out that they did.
Okay,
they did. So I won that. I won that parlay. So I was very happy. Yesterday was a very decent gambling day, and I know I'm going to lose whatever I won yesterday on the NFL today.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the catchphrase? Know your limit, Marchese. Stay within it.
Yeah. Know your limit. Play within it. Yeah. That's the one.
Let's get to some fantasy football and news and notes. Injury news and notes here. Before we look down at the Thursday nighter, and I don't know if we can, if you want to, we can just say we, like, you know, not do and say we did look down the Thursday nighter, because another dog's breakfast of a game for that one. But injury news and notes, Adam Schefter is saying that Rams wide receiver Cooper Foote, who looked unexpectedly popped up on the injury report, which is a little concerning if you had Cooper Kupp, but he with the foot injury, Tyler Higbee with the ankle injury, both listed as questionable, both expected to play. Adam Schefter also saying Saints wide receiver Chris Olave, listed as questionable due to a concussion, is not expected to play versus the Bengals. Now, this would leave the Saints without wide receivers Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, and Jarvis Landry. And I can only imagine, Marchese, that this means Taysom Hill is back on the menu. And look, I prepared this thing for you from last week when we were talking about Taysom Hill. And I wanted to play this for you because I just think it's really funny. We both got, I don't know if suckered is the right word considering his production, but this is from last week's show. And I think it's really funny, the conversation looking back you and I had about Taysom Hill.
Remember I said there was a guy that I have to start this week?
Oh God, no. Tell me it's not Taysom Hill.
It's Taysom Hill. It's Taysom Hill against the worst defense against opposing tight ends, which I know he's not really a tight end, but it was that or go pick up Will Disley, who's playing against the Saints in this game. Everything comes full circle in fantasy football show. I talk to the nth degree about how much I hate Taysom Hill, and here I am starting him this week because I'm a sucker.
Kamara already 34 yards on 8 carries. Back to Taysom Hill. Washington checks in at running back. He's going to block for Hill, and Hill yet again strolls in. His second rushing touchdown of the first half.
Oh, here we go.
How about that? And his first pass is a beauty for a touchdown to Adam Troutman. No running backs. There's no wide receivers on the field right now. And that means they're going to run it with Hill. This is what
he could go.
Every time, and now he's gone. It's a foot race. But the speed of Willem, will he get there? No! Touchdown! A 60-yard scamper for Taysom Hill!
So how many fantasy points was that for you for Taysom Hill last week, Marchese? I imagine a lot.
I think it was 32. That's
truly
that's a lot. That is, as Italians would say, that is a lot of scherol. That's big money Taysom Hill. And show, I will tell you this. Listen, I've got a – we're going to – actually, our first game, when we get – like, when we get to our first game, I'm going to tell you who I'm starting Taysom Hill over. And you – it may not blow your mind.
Probably
but
not.
It certainly blew my mind when I said, I'm going to start Taysom Hill in this game. Yeah, that's gonna be a zoo, and everybody's gonna start him this week, and we already know what's gonna happen, right?
Oh yeah, look, I'm already firing him. I'm starting both Taysom Hill and David Njoku in one league. So I freely expect that this is the week where he scores like 2.8 points, and you're like, oh, I don't know what happened there, but it's certainly not the results from week five. He not only did he have the four touchdowns, he had the one passing touchdown and three rushing touchdowns. He also had, I think he had a recovered fumble. I think he had a recovered fumble on like a punt return or something like that. He laid out a block on the game winning touchdown as well. Like, he wasn't just scoring on the offense. He was contributing on special teams and in offensive line play to a certain degree.
Somebody said because he plays so many special teams snaps that he should be his own defense/special teams on in fantasy. And then he's an advantage there. So, I mean, yeah, he's not lining up at tight end a lot, like unless he's blocking, because we know he's caught one pass. So that designation, the QB tight end designation, is – it might end up being one of the bigger cheat codes in fantasy if this guy keeps playing the way he's playing and if the New Orleans Saints wide receivers can't get healthy. They may run the ball 55 times today.
Yeah, they very well might. I only ask that if you do text in questions about Taysom Hill, please don't abbreviate it to T Hill.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, please put Taysom. Put Taysom if you're asking a question, because T Hill could very well refer to Tyreek Hill. And I see a lot of Hill questions here already. So please submit something with Taysom Hill if you do have a question about the Saints, quote-unquote, tight end. Okay, let's get to the Thursday nighter. We'll talk some more injuries as we get through the start sits today. A couple of teams on bye, the first bye week. Hitting us here in fantasy football, Detroit, Houston, Las Vegas, and Tennessee all on their bye week. So some fantasy relevant players for sure in those four teams. So we'll get to, you know, who you should be filling in on for each start sits when we get to those. But first, the Thursday night reaction, Commanders at Bears. Washington wins 12-7. Darnell Mooney dropping a pass, I guess, like on the goal line to end that game. So the Justin Fields, I don't want to call it like a renaissance because I don't know if it really started, but he doesn't, he didn't have a terrible day, but still the breakout game probably still incoming, I would think. But Brian Robinson, 17 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown, wasn't really used in the passing game, but the touchdown did, I would think, save the start, I would think here, Matt. But still, I mean, if you look at the rest of the distribution for Washington running backs, Antonio Gibson carried the ball 5 times. J.D. McKissic carried the ball 2 times. So I don't know if that was a game script thing or what, or maybe we can look forward to seeing Brian Robinson being, you know, the guy, quote unquote, going forward.
Well, first of all, let's just say this. The fact that Brian Robinson even scored a touchdown this year is pretty insane. And what's even more insane is that Brian Robinson got shot twice and still came back before Keenan Allen did, who has a hamstring injury. It's a wild world that we live in. And I know that was, I know that may have been inappropriate, but frankly, it's the truth. What's super interesting is that Brian Robinson gets all these carries, and then all we hear about is how good Antonio Gibson looked, and Ron Rivera says, oh, well, we do want to get him more touches. Like, Ron, make it make sense, please. Antonio Gibson was the more dynamic running back, and we know that that's going to be the case. But my God, what a confusing backfield. Like, at one point, you're like, oh, maybe J.D. McKissic is going to be the passing down back. That's like, oh, well, maybe he's not. Maybe that's going to be Antonio Gibson. And then in short yardage situations, they would sometimes bring in Gibson instead of Robinson, who's the bigger back. Like, none of what Washington is doing on offense makes any sense. Carson Wentz is a dog. What else is new?
He fractured his finger too. You saw that, right? On his throwing hand.
I did. So now you have, no excuse to not start him. Like, just leave him on your bench, find somebody else. I'm sure you can do better. But in terms of just the whole Washington offense, like, that game was, as you said, it was a dog's breakfast. These Thursday nighters are just a nightmare. And the matchups are terrible too. Like, this was never going to be a good game. Not in any universe was this going to be a good game. Mooney, I will say this about Darnell Mooney though. He's getting better. And, you know, there were times earlier in this year when he was literally not startable. He was the guy who was would get like two targets because the Bears would throw 12 times. And now when we look at what he's done, he has, you know, so the last 3 weeks, he goes the Giants 4 catches, 94 yards. Minnesota 2 catches, 52 yards. Not great, but at least he had the yardage. And this past week against Washington, 7 catches for 68 yards on 12 targets. So they're going to get him more involved. And that might be a sneaky ad. Like, if you can get him in a trade, because he's probably going pretty cheap right now, the Bears are just going to have to throw the ball to stay in games. It looks like they trust Justin Fields at least a little bit. And if he's throwing the ball, he's going to be throwing a lot to Darnell Mooney.
I will say Justin Fields' fantasy output this past week, this past Thursday, I should say, was buoyed. I would definitely look at the rushing stats here. 12 carries for 88 yards for Justin Fields. Because through the air, 14 for 27, 190 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. So not the most inspiring numbers, but still, if you can, I don't think you can expect 88 yards rushing every single week. But if that starts to become more of a reasonable floor, then maybe you can start starting Justin Fields. And again, in super flex leagues, maybe you are already doing so. But one QB league, still probably a long ways to go before you're starting him on any given basis. And yeah, Darnell Mooney, 7 catches for 68 yards. That's not bad. I wonder, like, he probably was dropped in a couple of leagues. Like I have a feeling he was probably available on the waiver wire for people who are frustrated with him.
Certainly
shallow leagues, guys. Certainly not any dynasty leagues or anything like that, but leagues where people were fed up and are, you know, because he's one of those guys in that in-between range where you hate starting him, but you don't really feel good about dropping him. Like, he's almost like Allen Robinson in that sense, or Juju to a lesser degree, right? Like, guys who you would like to start but can't, but also can't drop. So, hey, maybe Mooney is available either on the waiver wire or via trade. Before we get to the start sits real quick, I wanted to throw this by you. Just a couple of, like, unique situations, it would seem, in the NFL. And a couple of trade rumors coming up this past week, including the Carolina Panthers apparently listening to rumors about, or to calls, I should say, about Christian McCaffrey and whether or not Christian McCaffrey might be available in trade in real life, which I got to say is fascinating to me, because on one hand, I would love to get Christian McCaffrey on just a better team. I know a lot of his value in Carolina does sort of reside around, you know, they're bad, so they have to use him a lot. They're giving him, they're rushing him a lot. They're throwing the ball to him a lot. I'm genuinely curious as to how that will look with him on a better team. Like, it couldn't, I know people are, I've seen some discussions about people being wary that, oh, if CMC is on the Bills or if he's on the Chiefs, it won't be great for him because there are a lot of other mouths to feed. To a degree, I agree, but at the same time, if he goes to a team, and I'm still not sure he gets traded whatsoever this year at all, but if he does go to a team like the Bills or the Chiefs that have some kind of elite quarterback usage, I feel like he's probably going to be fine.
Well, the way I look at it is always this. There, not all fantasy touches are created equal. I know that sounded really dirty when I said that, but the way you kind of look at it is the value in Carolina's offense per touch, because their offense is so bad and because their offensive line's not very good, it's not the same as what the value of the touches in Buffalo or Kansas City would be. And I think that's because not all the attention is on Christian McCaffrey. So you're going to see less stacked boxes. Not that he faces a ton of them, but you're going to see less if you have Josh Allen as the quarterback, which opens up Christian McCaffrey not only in the running game, but in the passing game as well. The same thing can be said about him going to a team like Kansas City. So I think that if he goes to a team like Buffalo, he's not getting 20 touches, but he could get 15. And those 15 are probably more valuable because of where they are on the field, because of the defensive alignment, because they have to account for Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and whoever. So I think that's where the difference lies. So I think the production is probably similar, but his points per touch is probably a little bit better if he goes to a better offense.
Jonathan Jones from CBS Sports, he had tweeted out yesterday like an article from reactions to David Tepper and the job he's done as Panthers owner. And one of the little nuggets he passed along was that the Broncos, 49ers, Rams, and Bills are among the teams that have shown varying degrees of interest in McCaffrey. I wouldn't mind seeing him go to the Bills, for example, because, I mean, you know, selfishly, we're here in Toronto, so we'd probably hear a lot more about CMC than if he went to literally any other team. But the 49ers, can I just say, if CMC goes to the 49ers, he is probably going to, like, step off the plane and immediately be put on the injured reserve. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's a pretty normal thing in San Francisco. There's water is wet and San Francisco 49ers running backs get hurt.
Yeah,
that's pretty normal. Like, there's got to be something going on there. Yeah. That's just totally weird. Here's the one thing I will say. I hope, and if for this player's sake, I hope that if Christian McCaffrey does get traded to the Bills, which I would be fine with, that James Cook gets traded to Carolina because he's finally going to get some run. Don't like the way the Bills have used them, which is very sparingly. Although, show, and we could talk about this maybe later because we've got all these bye weeks that gives us a little bit more time. Two less games to talk about actually gives us a lot more time. The idea of after bye weeks that they integrate rookies into their offenses more because they figured out what they are. The Bills' bye week is next week. I would not be stunned if James Cook is involved in the offense more after their week 7 bye. I would not be stunned at all. So just kind of a roundabout way to look at other players that could be involved in maybe a trade that end up getting a bump in value. Maybe it's Zach Moss that goes the other way. I doubt it. It would probably be a guy like James Cook plus other pieces. But yeah, Christian McCaffrey and the Bills offense, that Bills offense is arguably the best offense in football right now. Josh Allen is probably the lead candidate for the MVP. And then you add Christian McCaffrey to that offense. Like, I don't think you're going to get worse. I would find it really hard to believe that you're going to get worse with Christian McCaffrey in your lineup. So it would be super interesting.
I'm sure you, as a Mr. Bills fan himself, would not scoff at the addition of CMC to the Bills lineup, Matt.
No. That would be foolhardy to do that. Here's my only concern. Is he going to stay healthy? Because if you invest, because that's not going to be a cheap trade, although you're going to end up taking on the salary. So maybe it's not as expensive as some people would think. But I would guess that a first round pick and something else is going back the other way.
Yeah, probably. Like you said, maybe James Cook, maybe Josh Allen. No, I'm kidding. Not Josh Allen. But
hey, don't trade my boy.
I wouldn't be shocked to see pieces like Cook or someone else go back the other way, especially if you're getting a talent like CMC. But yeah, I just thought, I saw that last night. I thought, man, that would really shake up certainly the real life NFL structure in terms of offensive pieces available for Josh Allen, make that Bills offense that much more dangerous. But fantasy wise, I mean, that's like a fantasy trade itself, right? Trading one of the top talents in your league. So I just saw that, thought that was pretty curious. Cam Akers also maybe has played his last snaps as a Los Angeles Ram, but we'll get to that in the next hour as well when we get to Panthers at Rams. But let's take a quick break, Matt. When we come back, we'll get to all of the start sits. And of course, still to come at the top of the next hour, the People's Text Line. Text us your fantasy start sit questions at 590-590, name and location. We'll get to as many of them on the air as possible. If we don't get to all of them on the air, we will get to all of them before the 1 p.m. kickoffs go later this afternoon. But you're listening to The Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you. Week 6 in the NFL is here. We're discussing start sits for every single game, injury news and notes, trade discussions, it would seem, your tweets at SNS Ali with two L's, Matty Mar 89, and of course, as always, the People's Text Line at 590-590, name and location. We will answer all of your fantasy football questions at 590-590 at the top of the next hour. But Matt, let's start our start sits for week 6 across the NFL. A lot to get to today, despite the four teams on bye. Again, the Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Tennessee Titans all on bye this week. But sir, we'll start with 49ers at Falcons. And look, I bet that Jimmy Garoppolo, if he is in your lineup today, is only in your lineup because of bye week issues, but still a QB2 at best. Like, not a lot of guys you're starting on San Francisco, really, outside of Jeff Wilson Jr. and maybe Deebo Samuel. Even George Kittle is kind of a dicey start, it would seem, at times.
Yeah, and Garoppolo is just, I mean, the matchup is decent, but he's given us no reason to believe that he's going to be, you know, a good fantasy quarterback this season. It's just not there. And as we look at it, yeah, Kittle was better last week. 6 catches, 47 yards, didn't have a touchdown. But the Falcons have given up the fourth most points to opposing tight ends. So he's probably in the start category, even though they don't use him very well. And again, we talk about it every week. The volatility of the position is what sets players like George Kittle apart from, you know, like a guy like Will Disley, for example. Brandon Ayuk has had more than 60 yards just once this year, which is super surprising. We did expect better from him. He's more of a prayer flex play, as I like to call it, because I don't even think he's touchdown dependent at this point. I think it is an absolute prayer. But yeah, other than Deebo, Jeff Wilson Jr., and I'm throwing Kittle in the conversation, there's not really anybody else that I want to start.
Yeah, it's tough watching Kittle do what he's doing because, like you said, he is so talented, but over his last 3 weeks, he sees an average of 5 targets per game, which is down from the nearly 8 average he had gotten over from 2018 to 2021. He obviously is great for this offense because he is a vicious blocker, but, you know, unless you get, like, points per block, yeah, I don't think you're going to be starting him very often. And, yeah, the low-volume passing attack really just means that Deebo Samuel and not Brandon Ayuk are the guys benefiting from that. Atlanta Falcons on their side of things. Again, like we talked a little bit in one of the waiver wire pods a couple weeks ago about Allgaier and Huntley. I don't know. Even if you could start one of them, last week was not a great matchup against the Bucs. This week, also not a great matchup against the San Francisco 49ers, which really means, again, as usual, Drake London is really the only guy. And Kyle Pitts, like, I mean, is this what do you think? Where do you land on Kyle Pitts? Because if there was ever a guy, I admit I'm probably going to take a bath on ranking him super highly, it's probably Kyle Pitts here, Matt.
Okay, so remember I said I had a maybe surprise of someone that I was going to sit over Taysom Hill? It's Kyle Pitts, show. I'm starting Taysom Hill over Kyle Pitts.
Here's the thing. You said you were going to start Hill over Pitts last week, and it worked in your great favor. So yes. maybe 2 times the charm. Maybe.
Here's the thing. San Francisco's defense is just so good. Marcus Mariota hasn't been very good. Like, we are counting down to Desmond Ridder time.
I know.
In Atlanta, and hopefully when they make that change, like, now they just want to, like, Arthur Smith has this idea that he's just going to run the ball a lot against really good defenses against the run. Like, he did it last week against the Bucks. I don't know. I mean, you don't have Derrick Henry anymore. Like, earth to Arthur Smith, you don't have Derrick Henry anymore. Sorry. Huntley, Allgaier, Damian Williams when he comes back, not the answer. Like, I understand that when Cordarrelle Patterson comes back, that it's maybe a different story. I mean, he's certainly not Derrick Henry. I get that. But they've got to throw the ball to stay in games. And the fact that they just, you know what? Like, there's a couple of things here with Kyle Pitts. One, he's coming off of a hamstring injury, which you never like starting players when they're coming off of a hamstring injury.
No, no.
So that's the first point. The second point, the Niners defense, really good against opposing tight ends. That's number two. Number three, Arthur Smith does not want to use Kyle Pitts, who is a unicorn at the tight end position, and yet here we are having a conversation about Kyle Pitts has been awful this year because the game planning is awful, and Arthur Smith should be put in fantasy football jail.
Straight to jail. Right to
Straight
jail.
To jail. Yeah. Right to jail.
That's one of my favorite memes. The Parks and Rec thing. Like, right, yeah. Believe it or not, jail. Right to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Arthur Smith for you. Let's move on to the Patriots at Browns game. Actually, our pal Andy McNamara is actually at this game today. I cannot in good conscience wish him a win despite him going down there with his dad because I want the Patriots to win. Let's just be real. But
correct.
I did see that a lot of defensive players for the Browns are actually out this week, I believe, including Jadeveon Clowney and Denzel Ward, which I think bodes well for certain members of the Patriots offense. I mean, it's not like you're starting Bailey Zappi, but Ramondre Stevenson, I had seen that Damian Harris apparently is going to test the hamstring in warmups, and if he might actually be active for this game, which kind of sucks because I was not sucks in the sense that like you obviously want players to be injured, but from a fantasy perspective, I was kind of hoping he would just be ruled out so I can put him in my IR spot and pick up someone else off of waivers. But it looks like that's not going to happen if it does happen until like a couple minutes before game time, probably. But Ramondre Stevenson, if Harris does not play, he is, I think, a locked-in RB1 because the Browns' rushing defense is not great. Let's be real. It's not very good. And he's going to get all the touches he can handle. And then with no Denzel Ward, I would think that makes, even with the low passing volume here too, I would think that makes Jacoby Myers, who caught 8 balls for 111 yards and a touchdown last week from Zappi, who is starting, it would seem, again today. Again, WR2 for me, probably, because, again, with a low passing volume, you don't want to expect too much, but he's probably the only pass catcher you can really start from New England.
Yeah, he is. The monster week last week, like we said on the waiver wire pod, he has the 8th most fantasy points per game among wide receivers.
That's crazy. That's wild.
That's pretty good. That's in full PPR, I believe. So, like, that's kind of good. And he's on pace. Like, he missed the 2 games, but he's still averaging. I want to say he's averaging, like, a shade over 80 yards a game or a shade under 80 yards a game receiving. And I think it's, like, 6 catches per game. Like, those are really good numbers for a guy in a low passing volume offense. Now, the guy that you mentioned off the top, in this block here with the Patriots and Browns, it's not Ramondre Stevenson's show, because if Damian Harris doesn't play today, it's Ramondre Stevens season. Because last week when Damian Harris got hurt, he ended up with 25 carries for 161 yards. And oh, by the way, 2 catches for 14 yards as well. That is elite workload. 27 touches in a game that, yes, was out of hand, but in a game like today where it's probably going to be a little bit closer, Ramondre Stevenson has proven that he can handle the passing game workload as well that goes along with being that bell cow back. And it's not like Damian Harris has been bad this year, because Damian Harris has been actually pretty good. He hasn't had to be touchdown dependent. Like, he's had a decent workload. I think he was averaging like 15 or 16 touches a week. Like, that's very good RB2 type workload. The Browns stink, like you mentioned, against running backs. 3rd most fantasy points to running backs this year. And like you said, even if Damian Harris does play today, I think Ramondre Stevenson is going to get a hefty workload, and I have him locked in as an RB1 this week.
Also, just if you're in a dynasty league, also just maybe keeper league, perhaps keep an eye on the rookie Pierre Strong Jr. If Harris doesn't suit up, I would imagine Pierre Strong is the guy who goes behind him, and he's a rookie. He had a decent preseason, so just keep an eye. Maybe he's the potential new James White type of back there, but I mean, it would take a lot to really supplant Damian Harris, because I think the coaching staff really likes him. But still, just keep an eye on that if you're in a keeper league. On the Brown side of things, you're obviously starting Nick Chubb. Don't need us to tell you that. I think most weeks you're probably starting David Njoku. I think like the real question marks, really to a degree, about the Browns on a week-to-week basis are, do you start Amari Cooper? And he comes off a 12-target game in the loss to the Chargers, 7 receptions. He turned that into 76 yards and a touchdown. He really is the only fantasy-relevant receiver in this offense. I think David Njoku is probably the most reliable pass catcher, but wide receiver, it probably is him. Again, I don't know if you're really wanting to start Donovan Peoples-Jones. on a week-to-week basis. Maybe there are spot starts here and there, but for the most part, the Patriots' pass defense is actually pretty stingy. So I'm not sure you want to be starting too many options on Cleveland outside of maybe Nick Chubb and perhaps Njoku.
Yeah, and honestly, well, Njoku, he actually is another good matchup. New England's given up the 10th most points to tight ends this year. And so Njoku, he's locked in as a tight end one now. And I know that's not saying much in today's universe, but he's still been super, super productive. Again, I missed it by 1 week, people. Yes, week one, he sucked, but I told you it'd be just fine. The guy that I think is the most affected by this matchup today is Kareem Hunt. Because New England is really tough against running backs, but I think Nick Chubb is just matchup proof because he's the best pure runner in the NFL. I'm not sold that Kareem Hunt is going to get a ton of workload today. And that's why I've got him in more of a flex spot. And it does feel like potentially like a prayer flex spot at this point, because he's been kind of up and down all season, and this matchup does not bode well for a productive game for Kareem Hunt. So I would be very leery about starting Kareem Hunt today. If you are starting him, I would maybe temper my expectations a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I see a couple of Hunt questions here on the text line. So keep them coming at 590-590. We'll get to those text line questions in about 20 minutes. Yeah, 20, 25 minutes or so. We'll answer as many as we can on the air. Again, 590-590. And leave your name and location so I can give you a shout-out as well. Let's continue on with our start sits. Jets at Packers. And, a pair of rookie wide receivers in this one that are always so intriguing on a week-to-week basis. I feel like I see their names on the text line almost literally every single week, Matt. It's Romeo Dubs for the Packers and then Garrett Wilson for the Jets. And now we're going to see both of them in this game. On the Jets side of things, because, look, I think you can start Breece Hall. Week 5, he outsnapped Michael Carter 69.5%. to Carter's 42%. He had 18 carries for 97 yards and a score. He had 2 receptions for 100 yards. The Jets dominated the Dolphins, so he saw the ball a lot. So game script clearly worked in Breece Hall's favor. But I think we're at the point now where you're just starting Breece Hall basically on a weekly basis. But when it comes to the pass catchers on this offense, Corey Davis clearly is one of Zach Wilson's most reliable, one of his more favorite targets. But having said that, Garrett Wilson, I mean, the draft capital is there. He clearly is talented because we saw the chemistry with Joe Flacco. I don't know if it's quite appeared to the same fantasy degree as it has with Wilson as it has with Flacco. But still, I mean, I guess Wilson's a flex play at best this week. I'm hoping for more, but I don't think you can really expect too much right now.
No, you can't. And so since Zach Wilson started 2 weeks ago, Corey Davis, wide receiver 22. Okay. Braxton Berrios is the second highest ranked wide receiver at wide receiver
wild.
47.
Like, come on.
He also threw a touchdown pass to Zach Wilson, so that helped. Garrett Wilson is wide receiver 63. And the guy who we thought was going to take a big leap forward this year, Elijah Moore, is wide receiver 69. So in those 2 weeks, that's where those nice wide receivers rank. It also doesn't help that Green Bay's defense has been really good since their week one loss to the Vikings. And last week is whatever. They didn't get beat through the air. They got beat on the ground by Barkley and by Daniel Jones. So I'm probably sitting Garrett Wilson if I can. I'm probably sitting Elijah Moore if I can. And the only wide receiver I'm comfortable starting at this moment in time is Corey Davis. And remember what we talked about with the change and Tyler Conklin? Guess what? He's been invisible since Zach Wilson started 2 weeks ago. This is the Breece Hall show. This is the Corey Davis show. And that's really it. Like, I would be really leery about starting Zach Wilson depending on what you got. Like, in two QB leagues because of the bye weeks or super flex leagues, you probably starting Zach Wilson. Like, I benched Zach Wilson this week in favor of Justin Fields in the Scott Fish Bowl, which is a big charity fantasy thing, which is great. But I was really comfortable with that decision, despite the fact that, you know, the Bears offense hasn't been very good. I don't expect Zach Wilson to have a good day today, but if there's going to be players that are, I think Corey Davis will be decent. And I also think that that Breece Hall is going to be very good just because that workload is elite at almost 70% snap share.
On the Packers side of things, look, you're starting Aaron Jones. It kind of looked like it was going to be more of an even split in the backfield between Jones and A.J. Dillon, but it actually has started to look like Aaron Jones is just the guy back there, right? Like, Dillon only played on 32% of the snaps for the team in week five after seeing over 50% every other week. Again, the Packers were leading for a majority, and you kind of think that in a game like that, A.J. Dillon would be a guy to get more run, and it was actually Aaron Jones. We'll have to see if that trend continues this week. But, I mean, again, you drafted Aaron Jones in the first round. You're probably starting him on a weekly basis anyways. But Alan Lazard and Romeo Dubs are the pair of wide receivers here that, again, I have questions about. If we go back to the Jets-Bengals game, right, and you look at the results there, Ja'Marr Chase, 29 yards. He did have six catches. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins did have a decent days as well. I think Boyd had combined around 100 yards and a touchdown in that game. So, again, you can probably expect good things from Lazard and Dubs, but having said that, how do you differentiate between who is going to get the touches? If you had to guess, I'm guessing Lazard because he's been more of the guy so far this year versus a rookie in Dubs. But again, Dubs probably, again, similar to Garrett Wilson, a flex play perhaps?
Yeah, I think so. They've been using Dubs in the screen game a little bit. So Lazard is the guy that they've been using a little bit more downfield and on slants. So he's been able to pick up chunk yardage that way. And Alan Lazard has been catching touchdowns. Like that, and Dubs has, I believe, one, but Lazard seems to be the guy that Rodgers looks for. He's the guy who's most trusted in the red zone. So I think that's where the upside is for any Packers wide receiver, because nobody's Devontae Adams, which, I'm glad we figured that out pretty quickly. And this offense, like, it was such a weird game last week. Aaron Rodgers just torched the Giants in the first half. And there was a betting line show. It was like minus, I don't know, 120 for Aaron Rodgers to throw over 2.5 touchdowns after he had already thrown two. So I sprinkled a couple shekels on that. And then they just got, of course I did. And then they got completely shut out in the second half. And this is where this offense needs to kind of figure themselves out, because you can't go scoreless against any team in the NFL if you expect to win, let alone the Giants, who have actually been really good in the second half of games this year. I anticipate that we're going to see a little bit of a balanced attack again. The Jets defense actually isn't all that bad. Like Sauce Gardner, their first round pick this year, I think he was fourth overall, has just been lights out good, like as advertised, been that good. So I don't think he's going to be shadowing one guy in particular, but you need to know where he is on the field, because he's a guy who makes plays. I think that this is going to be one of those matchups where Aaron Rodgers is probably a back end QB1, like probably around QB 11 or 12. I think Alan Lazard is the guy who has the better game today, but I do agree that Romeo Dubs is probably a flex play this week.
Let's continue here with the start sits on the fantasy show. Jags at Colts, an AFC South matchup. And let's start with the Jags, of course. Trevor Lawrence, I think, look, he has been better than he was in 2021. It was a pretty low bar to clear, so
I was going
to
say, not saying much right now.
He has scored in 4 out of 5 games so far this year, and he only did that in 9 times last year. He is on pace for over 4,000 yards, which is pretty impressive for a second-year quarterback. But still, QB2 range for me so far in this game particularly. The Colts defense, it's not as good as I expected it to be. Having said that, it is also still not bad. It's probably like in the middle of the row when it comes to things here. I mean, the Colts giving up the 13th least amount of points to the quarterback position, so maybe you want to take if you're in a super flex league, you might be starting Trevor Lawrence anyways, but in single QB leagues, yeah, you're probably maybe sit Trevor Lawrence this week. I'm curious, like James Robinson and Travis Etienne, I wonder, is Etienne actually sort of starting to take over the backfield? It's a second straight week that Etienne has outsnapped Robinson, or pardon me, second week overall, not second straight week, but in week four, it was 51% to 46, again, 54 to 40%, right? The rushing attempts are pretty much the same because they just haven't run the ball a lot in those 2 weeks, right? Like 8 rushing attempts, 10 rushing attempts. Neither of them ran routes in week 4. In week five, Etienne ran 27 routes. He got 5 targets. Robinson ran 16 routes, got 2 targets. So are things starting to shift towards the former first-round pick, Travis Etienne?
Well, I mean, he's certainly talented, right? He's got that home run ability. I'm just surprised that it kind of took this long to get to closer to a 50% share. This is, honestly, Show, this is kind of what I expected the backfield was going to look like at the beginning of the year, just more of a 50-50 split. They're both really talented guys. Last week, Etienne had one more touch than James Robinson. Robinson was not good last week. Etienne was better, but both guys weren't overly great. The Colts, the advantage here is that if you have one of either, then it's great. You can start them, you know, probably in a flex spot. But if you have both of them, which I do in one particular league, you almost have to start both of them. Much like the situation with the Patriots, that if you have a healthy Ramondre Stevenson and a healthy Damian Harris, that you have to start both of them. The difference is that in these offenses, the running back position in New England is way more valuable because they just use them so much because they want to keep the quarterback upright. In Jacksonville, they have Trevor Lawrence. They want him to throw the ball. They took him first overall for a reason. So that's kind of the balance that you have to find. But I look at them in this matchup. They're probably both flex plays. Like, I know Robinson had a good game against them earlier in the year. So, you know, if we're going on history and recency bias with that, fine. Then maybe James Robinson's an RB2. But I just look at both of these guys as a flex play. The advantage that maybe the Colts have this year, or the Jags have in this matchup is, and I'm going to bring up his name, and I know you're going to shudder at the thought of it, Show, but the Colts have given up the 5th most points to tight ends.
Oh, God, here we go.
So it could be a spot start for Evan Engram. I know it hasn't been great, but with the bye weeks, with the injuries, I mean, dare I say that, no, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that Evan Engram is a better start than Kyle Pitts this week. I'm not going to say it.
You know what? Like, the way this year has gone for Kyle Pitts, that very well may end up being the case. honestly, like that's how things have gone for Kyle Pitts so far. So,
Show, if I were to say that by week 6, you would probably be more comfortable starting Taysom Hill and Evan Engram in tight end spots than Kyle Pitts, what would your reaction have been? Where can we sign you up for the hospital? We need to check you in. There's a straitjacket waiting for you. Or you've been fired from the fantasy show because of ridiculous takes like that.
Have you seen the TV show Community? Like, you know that show where the episode where Donald Glover comes in and, like, it's like the timeline episode, and he's like, he goes to get pizza and he comes back and then the room's on fire.
Yes,
and
I don't watch the show, but I know the meme the gif. I know that one.
That's me coming back to looking at my tight end rankings after the end of the season. Because Evan Engram was not on there. I'll be completely honest, Evan Engram was not on there, and Kyle Pitts was number one. So
I will say that Kyle Pitts, believe it or not, through the same amount of time last year, the same amount of games, I believe he only has 5 less targets than what he did at the same point last year. The difference is that Matt Ryan was a better quarterback last year than Marcus Mariota. I think we can safely say that.
Well, speaking of Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts, I mean, Matt Ryan, he got to perform on national television last week, and we got to see how really, I mean, we knew this, but I think everyone got to see how bad his 2022 season. He has 11 fumbles on the year. He's only actually lost 3 of them, which is pretty crazy, but sometimes fantasy leagues actually do penalize you for lost fumbles, even if they're recovered. It's like minus half a point or minus a point, depending on your league settings, but thankfully not too many of my leagues do that, but still, if you're in a league like that, it probably has hurt you pretty often this year. You're obviously sitting Matt Ryan because he has been so lackluster, and Jonathan Taylor is out. He was ruled out, I believe it was yesterday, so he is officially out, in case you did miss that. So put him in your IR spot or put him on your bench, whatever you got to do. I think most people are still starting Michael Pittman because he's still the guy there. You can probably flex Alec Pierce. That's probably it for the pass catchers, but with no Jonathan Taylor, I believe Nyheim Hines is also out. So if that's the case, then Deion Jackson becomes the potential play here. And I gotta say, he didn't look terrible when he came in last Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, he didn't. I know people keep going at Deion Jackson here, but I kind of lean Philip Lindsay in this one. I feel like the Colts are going to have to use a running back in the passing game, and I think Philip Lindsay is the better option there. Like, if I had to choose between Deion Jackson and Philip Lindsay, I personally lean Philip Lindsay a little bit more. We've seen him do it at the NFL level. God, the guy was an undrafted player and had back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. And he was just recalled off the practice squad last week and ended up, you know, getting a few touches here and there. I think that Philip Lindsay, like, if I were to bet on it, Philip Lindsay is the guy that leads this backfield in yards, in total yards at the end of this game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm honestly so curious what the split will look like with neither of those guys in there, Hines and Taylor, because again, Deion Jackson, Philip Lindsay carrying the load for the Indianapolis Colts, probably not what everyone wanted to see if you're a Colts fan starting the year. Again, if we're talking about busted predictions, did I pick the Colts to win the AFC South this year? Yes. Yes, I did, which is why I also don't gamble as much as you do.
You and me both, but I just didn't gamble on it because I don't trust anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Probably for the best. Ultimately, probably for the best. We leave that to George and the guys on Inside the Lines. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will get to your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line. 590-590 is where you can text us, leave your name and location. And again, if we don't get to all of your questions on the air in about 5-10 minutes, we will answer every single text line question, every single tweet before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoffs go later this afternoon. But the People's Text Line is next on The Fantasy Show. Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This is The Fantasy Show with Show Ali and Matt Marchese on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you. Week 6 in the NFL is here. Injury news and notes, start sits for every single game. And of course, as always, your texts on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Leave your name and location. We will answer all of your start sit questions on the People's Text Line. If we don't do them all on the air, we will get to every single one before games start in about 4 hours from now, give or take. But Matt, ready to do some texts?
Yeah, let's roll, baby.
Let's do it.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
All right, again, so you guys know the drill. Like I said, 590-590, name and location, please. If we don't get to all of your texts right now, we will answer all of them off the air. I just give Matt a call after the show is done, and we will get to all of your texts and tweets, of course, as well, at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89. But let's start at 590-590. Chris from Rockwood in the Week 6 Blues, needing helping hand from my friends at the Fantasy Show, half PPR league, 12-team, choose two flex players. Okay, Matt. So two flex guys from, okay, so let's see. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players. So we're choosing two of these five players. Corey Davis, Chase Claypool, Jerick McKinnon, Ezekiel Elliott, and Najee Harris. So two of those five. Half PPR.
Okay, so I kind of lean Corey Davis here. Ezekiel Elliott, like, I know that the Cowboys want to run the ball a lot, but Najee Harris doesn't it feel like he's become like the pariah of fantasy football at this point right now?
Yeah.
I kind of lean Ezekiel Elliott with Corey Davis here. I can't believe I just said that, but Najee Harris is going up against the Bucks. We know about and they want to use Jalen Warren more in Pittsburgh, it sounds like. So I'm going to go Ezekiel Elliott and Corey Davis here.
I definitely like the Corey Davis play in half PPR because even if he doesn't get a lot of yardage, he gets a lot of targets from Zach Wilson. So I don't mind the Corey Davis play. I'm out on Chase Claypool for now. I still think it's the George Pickens, Deontay Johnson show, especially with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. So I'm passing on Chase Claypool. Jerry McKinnon, it's not a bad question because, you know, he still gets a lot of run. And CEH is so interesting to me because last week was the first week he did not put up RB1 numbers. Essentially, it felt like all season. Despite the fact that the touches, like we talk about how not all fantasy touches are created equal. We were talking about that with Christian McCaffrey earlier in the show. But still, when it comes to these games for Jerick McKinnon, it's not reliable enough for me to say, oh, you start him over Zeke and Najee Harris. The only problem I have is I don't know. Zeke is going up against the Eagles. That's going to be a lot of fun in a real-life matchup. But I think from what I've seen, Dak Prescott is not playing tonight. So if that's the case, then you got Cooper Rush there again. Won't they just stack the box against basically every running back here?
They might, but they're also... like, Zeke gets used in the passing game as well. And I think there is some value there. I just don't trust Najee Harris right now. Like, he just hasn't been very good. And I prefer the matchup against the Eagles than I do the matchup against the Bucks for Najee Harris. I think both are not great options, but yeah, that's more where I would lean.
And I want to say a ton of Steelers are also out today, so they might be forced to throw the ball a whole hell of a
There's
lot
like
more.
There's like nobody in the secondary. Yeah, yeah, basically, they're exactly. missing like three corners, I think, and like Minkah Fitzpatrick's out, Levi Wallace is out, and there was somebody else. It's going to be a nightmare for the Steelers.
Yeah, the Tom Brady and the Bucs are probably going to just absolutely feast on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Brady has made a career of feasting on every team, but particularly the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I have a feeling he's going to do it again with the Bucs today. Okay, FaZe from Peterborough. Hello, FaZe. Good morning. WR2. He's looking for a WR2. His WR1 is Diggs. This is a full PPR league. So his WR2, Michael Pittman, CeeDee Lamb, or A.J. Brown. Man, that's not a bad trio. I get the trepidation, though, because A.J. Brown has looked, after like an absolutely stunning first week in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform, it's been like he's been kind of mortal looking as of late.
So I'll give you a stat here. A.J. Brown on the season is wide receiver 12.
Okay.
Okay. Since Devontae Smith's dud in week one, Devontae Smith is wide receiver 13. So the last 4 weeks, he's wide receiver 13. A.J. Brown in that same time frame is wide receiver 25. So his week one was so good that it's kind of made his season look like it's been a lot better than it has been. Devontae Smith has been the better receiver over the last 4 weeks in terms of fantasy production because teams are keying on A.J. Brown. Believe it or not, here, Show, I'm going to lean CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, you know what? Shockingly, since Cooper Rush has been the quarterback in the last, I don't know what, like month or so, I think CeeDee Lamb has actually been, after a bit of a dud to start the Rush-Lamb connection, it actually hasn't been too bad. Unfortunately, it has come at the complete expense of Dalton Schultz, who has been a complete, like, he has been essentially droppable for essentially the span of, what, 3 weeks? He's put up, I think, zeros almost every week, which is ugly, but it does mean that CeeDee Lamb is probably the guy. I do agree. I like me some Michael Pittman too, but gosh, Michael Pittman, like Matt Ryan is just killing his value, and I mean, as a Pittman owner myself, it kills me to say it, but yeah, I'm probably going Lamb as well. Hey, why don't we go to the Twitter machine? I see a tweet here from Rob Gray. He says, I have Eno Benjamin starting. And we'll get to the Eno stuff shortly because I find the Eno stuff really fascinating this week with no James Conner and Williams and so on. So do you want to start Eno Benjamin over a lot of guys? He says, I have Eno starting, but I have to start either Hunt or Elliott, and both have unfavorable matchups. Looking for your opinion. We just had the conversation about Zeke, so I'm thinking Zeke probably, but I'm curious what you think. Either Kareem Hunt or Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, it's just the matchup for Kareem Hunt against the Patriots, and he doesn't get enough run where I can say, like, I'm going with the volume here, and I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott over Kareem Hunt.
I think so, too. Again, I don't think that necessarily means I'm, like, out on Hunt, generally speaking, but when it comes to the Patriots matchup, especially if they get down, I mean, I still think it'll be a close-fought game out in Cleveland today, but still, I think you're probably looking at Ezekiel Elliott for Rob there. So he's going to start Eno and Zeke. Let's go back to the text line. Good morning, guys. Connor here, 4-1, so I can take a chance this week. Standard scoring, buys an injury, killing me. At running back and flex, I have Boone, Coleman, and Everett. So I guess he's just looking for some confirmation on that. Boone, Coleman, Everett, Philip Lindsay is available, I guess, on the waiver wire.
If I could pick up Philip Lindsay, I would start him over Gerald Everett. Tevin Coleman, he got used last week. I mean, that game feels like it should be well in hand for the 49ers against the Falcons today. I definitely like Mike Boone because Melvin Gordon popped up on the injury report, and Boone is healthy. So I lean Boone because they used him in the passing game, and the matchup is against the Chargers, who stink against the run. So the only one is for me is Everett. And we talked about Everett last week with Donald Parham back in the lineup, that there was a chance that he takes away from Gerald Everett. And Gerald Everett just was not very used last week. So if I could pick up Phillip Lindsay, I would be starting Phillip Lindsay over Gerald Everett this week in that spot.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're probably right. I do like Connor's outlook on it. When you are up like that in your league, when you are 4-1, you can afford to take chance. Like, you can afford to, you don't want to take any week for granted. Don't get me wrong, because at the end of the season, a single week may be what keeps you from making the playoffs or is what ends up letting you make the playoffs. But if you are 4-1 at this point in the year, I think this is the time when you can be, when you can afford to, if your bench is okay, rostering two defenses, let's say, if you want to prepare for a couple of weeks here going forward, right? Or taking a chance on a stash, like, and we'll get to this one a little later on, but like a stashing, like a, certainly a Jameson Williams or a Tyquan Thornton or maybe even a Kyren Williams, for example, with the Rams, right? So I just, that's the position you want to be in, certainly. So good for you, Connor. Congratulations that you're 4-1. So Matt goes Phillip Lindsay. Let's go to another text here. Morning, gents. It's Steve from East York. I just have one question today. Geno Smith or Aaron Rodgers? Thanks, guys. Hope you have a great fantasy day. I hope you do as well, Steve. Can you believe we're actually taking questions about Geno Smith over Aaron Rodgers and actually have it be a legitimate question? Geno Smith has been very fantasy relevant this year, Matt.
Shoal, I can't believe that I'm saying this because I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Like, outside, like, on, as players go for favorite players, not on my favorite team, Aaron Rodgers is at the top of the list. But I feel like this is Geno Smith here. The Cardinals are a decent but not great defense. I think the Jets are a tougher matchup defensively for the Packers, despite Aaron Rodgers being, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen. Statistically, in terms of interceptions and touchdown ratio, he's the best we've ever seen. But I think I'm going Geno Smith here.
Yeah, I think so too. And here's the thing. I it's not because I think Aaron Rodgers has suddenly become washed. I do think that ultimately what happens is that they just seem to run the ball just a whole ton, right? Like, it's not just let Aaron Rodgers fling the ball all over the field. It's they actually are running the ball quite a lot with Jones and Dylan. And as long as that continues, it's taking the ball out of his hands. It seems to be working for the Packers, generally speaking, overall. And I'm sure it will even into the playoffs, because it's not as though the NFC North is not good, generally speaking. So it may not matter, but from a fantasy perspective, yeah, I think Geno just does seem to have more opportunity. So, I agree with you. I can't believe I'm saying this, but Geno Smith as well. Let's go back to the Twitter machine. Brant tweeting in, single point PPR league, so I guess a full PPR league. He's looking for a flex play. DJ Moore or Najee Harris as his flex?
Oh, my God. I'll have the crab juice. For all the Simpsons fans out there. Wow. The Rams are not great against the pass, but P.J. Walker... You know what? I'm curious to see what D.J. Moore looks like with P.J. Walker throwing him the ball. Because we're waiting for the D.J. Moore breakout. Baker Mayfield stinks. I mean, P.J. Walker can't be much better than Baker Mayfield, but... I hate that matchup for Najee Harris against the Bucks, and I keep saying that and watch him go off for 100 yards in a game that we were never expecting. I just think they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, Pittsburgh, today just to kind of stay in it, and I think that kind of eliminates Najee Harris because I still think I think he's hurt. I really do think that he's hurt. I think that foot injury is really bothering him, and that's why we see more Jaylen Warren. I'm going to go with DJ Moore instead of Najee Harris.
Yeah, they're ultimately not great, the greatest of matchups, admittedly. But yeah, I feel bad saying maybe DJ Moore over Harris. But yeah, with no Baker Mayfield, I mean, it can't get much worse. it can get much worse. I do agree with you that matchup-based, I feel like they're going to end up throwing the ball a lot more than running it with Harris. Okay, let's do one more, and then we'll get to the rest of these off the air in about 45 minutes or so. But let's do one more. Juan from Richmond Hill. Love the show, guys. Need two running backs and a flex this week. So it's a half-point PPR league. You're choosing between Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Eno Benjamin, Darrell Henderson, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, and Christian Kirk. So two running backs, and I mean, those are basically all running backs, and one flex play. So Mixon, Jones, Eno, Henderson, Wilson, Mostert, and Kirk. So I'll put it this way. I think you start Aaron Jones. I like to play for Aaron Jones against the Jets. Joe Mixon gets a decent amount of work, so I feel like you do have to start Joe Mixon, but it does beg the question, who are you flexing between Eno, Henderson, Wilson, Mostert, Kirk?
Oh boy. I agree with that sentiment. So I'm good with Mixon. I'm good with Aaron Jones. Man, Raheem Mostert is getting a lot of work.
He is, yeah.
It's a good workload. Like, that's, you know, RB2 type workload. The Vikings are not very good against the run. I feel like I'm talking myself into Raheem Mostert, but the fact that it's PPR, you know what? I think Christian Kirk has a bounce back game. I'm going to go with Christian Kirk in this one. I almost talked myself into Mostert, but I think in a PPR format, I'm going to go with the guy that I think is going to catch a lot of passes today, and I think that's going to be Christian Kirk.
You know what? I am going to go with Raheem Mostert because the workload for him, like you said, has been just absolutely ridiculous. Of course, this will probably be the week that you say, yeah, start Raheem Mostert, then he gets injured or something, and then Chase Edmonds is the guy going forward. But for now, Chase Edmonds, crazily, has been essentially invisible. Like, he basically, like, they paid him a whole ton of money and they just don't use him. He just is not used. Maybe he's not as good as they expected. Well, maybe he just fell out of favor there or something. They clearly like Raheem Mostert, and he actually has been producing with their third string quarterback starting with Tua and Teddy in concussion protocol. I think Skylar Thompson, who you're not starting, by the way, but with him being the guy, they're probably going to run the ball a lot. And I imagine Raheem Mostert is going to get most of those touches. So I'm going to go Mostert. But that kind of does it, Matt, for our start sits here on the text line, 590-590, name and location. But still, tons of time to text us however many questions you want. We will answer the rest of these. If we have some time at the end of the show, we'll sprinkle in a few more. But otherwise, we will answer all of your questions at 590-590 on the People's Text Line on Twitter, at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show, of course, as well on Twitter. We'll answer all of those questions before 1 p.m. goes in about, you know, 3.5 hours thereabouts. But let's get back to the start sits. And our next one here on the list, Vikings at Dolphins. So we're just talking about Raheem Mostert. So why don't we round out the Dolphins conversation before we get to the Vikings? And like I said, Mostert, you knew it was going to be a messy backfield. And so just to back up the Mostert stuff here, Mostert, the snap share in week 5, actually somehow did see Myles Gaskin get involved in the running game a little bit. Like, here's the snap share from last week, Matt. Raheem Mostert had 68% of the snap share. Myles Gaskin had 19%, and Chase Edmonds had 15%. So in 1 week, Myles Gaskin jumped Chase Edmonds for more snap share in that Miami offense. But still, the guy to own, at least for now, is Raheem Mostert.
So I talked about this at the beginning of the year. I'm not convinced that Mike McDaniel is a good coach. I'm not convinced he's as smart as everybody thinks he is. So this lends itself to, like you said, they just paid Chase Edmonds a lot of money. I can almost guarantee you that Mike McDaniel was all over the signing of Chase Edmonds. Because of the way that the running backs were used in San Francisco, it's also why Raheem Mostert's there. And yet, they don't play him. So is that a talent assessment part on the GM? Possibly. But I also think that it's a talent assessment part on the coach. I'm not convinced that Mike McDaniel is this boy genius that everybody thinks he is. However, having said that, the rest of the Miami Dolphins skill, like, what happened to Jalen Waddle? Like, I know the quarterback situation sucks right now with Skylar Thompson, but, like, I don't know. Jalen Waddle's a flex play at this point. Like, I'm starting Tyreek Hill because of the way that they use Tyreek Hill in this offense. But I'm really, really leery about starting Jalen Waddle just because the production really hasn't been there over the last few weeks. It's been really tough sledding for him. I know there's been an injury in there, but I'm really skeptical. Like, I've got Jalen Waddle as like a back-end wide receiver three in the flex play conversation this week, and I've got Tyreek Hill probably in the wide receiver two conversation just because of the downgrade at quarterback.
Yeah, here's a wild stat. So Jalen Waddle had the most snaps. He played 76% of the snaps, which is the most of any player for the Miami Dolphins last week. He led the team in routes run with 30, and he only saw 3 targets despite all of those high numbers, which is actually a season low. And this is a week after he only saw 5. So the matchup for Dolphins wideouts this week it's like fine. It's okay, right? It's not a terrible matchup. It's not a great matchup either. I kind of agree with you. I think Tyreek Hill, who saw 7 targets in week 5 with Skylar Thompson at QB, he caught all of them. So he's probably the one guy you can feel good about starting as long as Thompson is the quarterback. If Tua does return this season, even if Teddy Bridgewater returns this season, you can probably feel better about Waddle. But for now, yeah, I think it's just Tyreek Hill. On the Vikings side of things, let's face it, you're starting. It doesn't really matter what team you're facing. I know you had a couple of duds early on, but you're starting Justin Jefferson every single week, and you're starting Dalvin Cook every single week. Alexander Mattison, by the way, is expected to play because he was banged up, but I mean, let's be real. Unless Dalvin Cook gets injured, it's going to be you're not going to be using Mattison as anything more than a handcuff for Cook. But outside of that, and again, Kirk Cousins, I don't know, he hasn't been great so far. 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, but still, the Miami Dolphins give up the second most points to QBs, and they don't have any quarterback who rates over 70 on PFF. So I think Cousins does complete a high percentage of passes. So maybe you do can maybe back end QB1 for me for Kirk Cousins. But the question that like the question about should you or should you not start this guy is Adam Thielen. And Adam Thielen, I have him ranked as a WR3 so far this week. I'm curious where you fall on Thielen.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat just because Miami's defense is like a fantasy gold mine across the board.
Yeah,
like
it's not been great.
Wide receivers, quarterbacks, running backs, like they're not very good this year. And I'm with you. I have Thielen in that wide receiver 3 conversation. Like I have my own dilemma in one league because I'm deciding basically between Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen and Jacoby Myers, and it's basically between Thielen and Jacoby Myers, and I'm actually leaning Jacoby Myers just because he's the number one guy, even though it's a low volume passing offense, but I still think that Adam Thielen has a good week. Like you can absolutely fire him up as a flex play because I think there's some value here in a game that my only concern is that the game gets out of hand and then it's just like you said, it's the Dalvin Cook show and maybe a sprinkle of Alexander Mattison just because it's gotten out of hand. But I think Adam Thielen is a decent bet this week as a wide receiver 3 and at worst in a flex spot. I do believe there's some value there.
Our next start sit here is Bengals at Saints. And again, maybe a relatively short conversation. You're starting Burrow most weeks. You're starting Joe Mixon most weeks. You're starting Ja'Marr Chase every week. Raise your hand if, like me, you started T. Higgins under the assumption that he was actually going to play football after 10 snaps. He didn't play for the rest of the game. And after the game, Zach Taylor said, situationally, he could have been an option. That's fantasy jail. Straight to jail, Zach Taylor. That's awful stuff, man. Ooh.
Yeah, Zach Taylor's, he's a pain in the ass. T. Higgins is, I believe he's out this week.
He is, yeah.
That puts Tyler Boyd in the flex conversation. But the only thing is that Tyler Boyd, even though T. Higgins was hurt last week, didn't really put up numbers. Like, he's not really been targeted. Like, he had a touchdown, I think, in the first 2 weeks where it was decent, but you were just kind of praying for a touchdown. The only benefit here, and Ja'Marr Chase is probably the biggest benefactor of this, is no Marshawn Lattimore for the Saints, which is huge for the Bengals in that secondary. There is the risk that this game gets out of hand just because, you know, Andy Dalton's that quarterback. He has basically nobody to throw to except, you know, Alvin Kamara, and we know how that goes. It was good last week, but who knows what that looks like this week. I'm I think Hayden Hurst is actually a pretty decent spot start here, especially if you've got some injuries and bye week issues at the tight end position. But Tyler Boyd moves into the flex conversation just because I think they're going to have to target him. But I anticipate that we're going to get a big blow-up Ja'Marr Chase week.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm sure people will feel good about that considering that Ja'Marr Chase was probably drafted in like the first round of most drafts. So yeah, I think, and again, like you said, no Lattimore, it bodes well for Chase. And on the Saints side of things, Andy Dalton, I believe, is getting the start today. Like you said, Alvin Kamara is playing, but on the pass catching side of things, no Michael Thomas. The Olave Garden is closed. Chris Olave out with the concussion issue, and Jarvis Landry also out. So, it's another Taysom Hill week. That's what it is. That's where we're dealing with here. With Taysom Hill, the way I look at it sometimes is, given the wasteland at tight end most weeks, like if you were just going to start, like, I don't know, like Irv Smith, we just talked about the Vikings, or like Tyler Conklin or something, you might as well start Taysom Hill. And even if you get a zero from him, the potential to get like you said, 32 points like you got last week is always there. Whereas the potential for literally any other tight end not named Travis Kelce is probably still, I don't know, like 10 to 15 points at best. And that's if they catch a touchdown, right? Mark Andrews, I'll put in there as well. But like any guys not named Kelce or Andrews, that's basically it. So I don't know. You might as well start Taysom Hill, I would think.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Show, when I was doing my notes, the first thing that I wrote was, is anyone playing for the Saints? That was what I wrote this week. Is anyone playing for the Saints? But the Taysom Hill conversation is basically this. He has an extremely low floor, and he's got an extremely high ceiling. And you don't really find that he's in between all that much, right? There's always the chance that Andy Dalton gets hurt and that Taysom Hill has to take snaps at quarterback, in which you're getting, you know, maybe QB2 numbers out of a tight end, which is still fantasy gold. And you're right. If your choice is like, you know, Will Disley, Gerald Everett, right, Tyler Conklin, like even Hayden Hurst to an extent, I mean, I'm still going to roll with Taysom Hill. What am I doing, Show? Oh, my God. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone talking about Taysom Hill being a relevant fantasy player after poo-pooing him basically forever and cursing Sean Payton for years because of Taysom Hill being the vulture. He took on the Mike Tolbert role of the vulture. But you're right. I mean, you almost have to start him in this matchup because of the way that he's used and the fact that there's nobody else in this offense. Like, I don't know. I don't trust Tre'Quan Smith. I picked up Marquez Callaway in one league because I'm just so desperate at wide receiver. Outside of that, I mean, Alvin Kamara feels like he's going to have a monster game today. He's going to get used a lot in the passing game. And I do expect a lot from Taysom Hill in this one. I really do. And I know I joke about it a lot, but he's being used.
He is being used a lot. I think that's what Matt was basically going to say. Yeah, I think we'll get Matt back on in a couple of minutes here. But yeah, not a lot of volume for Taysom Hill, but he is being used a ton. Let's get to the next one here. Ravens at Giants. I think this is a relatively short conversation because Lamar Jackson, despite, I guess the thing we've learned about Lamar in the last couple of weeks is that he does look human. He does look human, relatively speaking. So who's not starting Lamar Jackson, right? He's a QB1. I think, from the receiving point of view, Rashad Bateman, I don't believe he's playing again this week. Obviously, Mark Andrews is the guy you're starting for the Baltimore Ravens. Devin Duvernay, probably at best a flex play, I would say. But the question, and we got Marchese back with us. Matt, the we're talking about the Ravens here, and I was just talking about the various options that you can throw out there for the Ravens. Apart from Lamar Jackson, I guess the most fantasy-relevant guy, obviously, is Andrews. But J.K. Dobbins, I have him as a flex play. Again, only 8 rushing attempts for 44 yards against the Bengals on Sunday Night Football. It was a pretty positive game script. Only Dobbins' third game back from injury. They don't seem to be giving him a huge load. But I think, again, flex play probably territory for Dobbins at best, I would say. And you're just hoping there's more for him workload-wise as the season goes on.
Yeah, sorry about that, Show. As you know, there's a plant power outage in my town because that's what happens when you live in a small town. So everything is all over the place. But having said all that, so thank you for everyone for being patient. I Dobbins has been, he's been pretty effective in the time that he has played, even though he's had minimal touches. But I agree, it's because of the workload, not because of the player, that you have him more in the flex conversation. And I'm totally in agreement with you there. The one thing that we did see last week with the Bengals, with Bateman out and Duvernay getting more run, is they used Duvernay a lot in the running game, a lot more than I expected.
They did.
So I think that he's in a good spot. I think he's probably in the wide receiver three conversation. And Mark Andrews, obviously. The Giants defense wasn't great in the first half against the Packers, but they really shut them down in the second half. Be curious to see how this game goes, because there is the revenge narrative. Wink Martindale was the defensive coordinator for the Ravens for a long time, and he's the defensive coordinator for the Giants now, and I think he knows a thing or two about Lamar Jackson, so really interested to see how this one plays out. Lamar, I think he's in a tough spot this week. I know he's been great all year, but I think that Lamar's value this week is going to be found with his legs and not necessarily with his arm.
Yeah, it's true. I think the Giants defense hasn't faced a whole ton of, you know, elite quarterbacks. I mean, I guess last week they did, just in London, they faced Rodgers, but apart from him, not a lot of guys in that tiering range when it comes to elite guys. So maybe things go differently, but I think you're probably right. Probably not a lot of passing offense, I would imagine, for the Ravens today. And for the Giants, I expect it's a short conversation. You start Saquon Barkley, and that's about it.
Probably, but with the bye weeks, and this is where I was kind of surprised, Daniel Jones is QB15 over the last 3 weeks. The problem with all of that is he hasn't thrown a touchdown in those 3 weeks, and he was buoyed by two rushing touchdowns 2 weeks ago, but he's had at least 37 rushing yards in the last 3 weeks, and in two of those weeks, he's had 68 or more rushing yards. So when we talk about, it's the same conversation that we have with Justin Fields. The offenses look very similar. They like to run the ball with, you know, in the Giants' case, it's Saquon Barkley. In the Bears' case, it's David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. But Daniel Jones has a little bit of a rushing floor, which gives him some value. Like, if he's rushing for 60 yards, you've got 6 points in the bag right there. And if he throws for 200, depending on your scoring, and he hasn't been throwing interceptions either, which I'm very surprised that he's been able to take care of the ball. So Daniel Jones' floor at this point is probably, dare I say, 11 or 12 points, and that's without a touchdown in there. So I think if you were a person that's starting Jared Goff every week because he's been great, I think that's a good substitute there. If you're someone who has been starting, I don't know, like if you sat Carson Wentz this week, you were probably in good shape. You know, and if you were starting Derek Carr, like Daniel Jones is a decent fill-in this week, because I do think that there is some value against the Ravens, who, let's face it, their defense hasn't been all that great. Certainly not what it used to be. I think Daniel Jones is a decent spot start this week. I don't know, but like, I don't know who he's throwing to. Like, maybe it's Darius Slayton again. Maybe because my internet's all over the place. Like, is Wandale Robinson playing this week? I know he got in some limited practices, but that would be a guy, if he plays, to keep an eye on as a potential stash, because I know they'll use him all over the field as like a gadget guy. But yeah, I think Daniel Jones is a decent start this week, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's hard to knock him too much because, you know, he's throwing to like Kenny Golladay and Tony and Robinson and so on, right? Like, they're not because they're like crappy players or anything, but just because...
Well, he's not throwing to them actually, Show, because they're always hurt.
That's the thing. That's what I mean, right? Like, those are the receiving options, and they're injured, right? So I'm not going to knock Daniel Jones too much. I do wish the guy well, ultimately speaking, but yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, like in super flex leagues, I think you can probably take a swing on him. And again, if you're in bye week hell or injury hell, then maybe you can give Daniel Jones a shot. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back,
before we take a break,
yeah,
one sec, just because I thought about this. Does Daniel Jones not look, when he's got his helmet on, does he not look like Jim Carrey doing a facial bit?
Kind of. I see what you mean. I can see
like
it.
Jim Carrey kind of, when he was younger, trying to stretch his face or whatever, when he was doing, you know, whatever show that he was doing, yeah, whether, yeah, you know, it was an appearance here or there. That's every time I see him, I feel like he looks like Jim Carrey trying to do a bit.
Yeah, like on Liar Liar, when he's like trying to lie to the court, it's like, yeah, I kind of see it.
Yeah,
I kind of see it. I like
or
it.
Or Jim, what was what was he on, like, in Living Color, I believe
Right,
do all those weird faces. That's what Daniel Jones looks like. He looks like a young Jim Carrey with the weird faces that he would make.
Here's my hot, I don't know if this actually is a super hot take or not, but Jim Carrey might have the most banger hit movies in a row of maybe any actor ever. If you look at his stretch of movies from, like, the early 90s right through to, like, 2000 or so, like, right up until he did, like, I don't know, The Truman Show and shortly after, probably no actor in history who has a better stretch of movies than Jim Carrey.
It's pretty, it might be close between him and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you know what? Might be, actually.
Like, Sandler did, like, Billy, I can't believe we're doing this, but I love it. He did Billy Madison, and he did Big Daddy, and he did Happy Gilmore. Like, if you look, like, that is like a murderer's row of funny movies that he did all in a row. And then he did, like, what was it, Jack and Jill, and it was just horrible. Yeah. I've never seen it, but I heard it's
pretty
horrible.
Bad. It's pretty bad.
But he has some good. He has some good ones there. It is a really close race, though. It really is.
Yeah, Punch Drunk Love also for Adam Sandler in that one too, right? Showing off his dramatic chops. Okay, we'll take a look at the IMDb pages for these guys in the break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the start sits here on the Fantasy Show. Six more games to go, one more segment to go here on the Fantasy Show. But you're listening to the Fantasy Show, Show and Matt on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Segment to go on the Fantasy Show as we break down every week six start sit across the NFL. Show Ali, Matt Marchese with you until the top of the hour. Inside the Lions follows us. Matt, let's boogie through these last six matchups. We got 15 minutes, so we got to break down six matchups in 15 minutes.
We got it.
Let's start with Bucks Steelers. I actually think, all things considered, also, because we talked a lot about Najee Harris today, I think this is a relatively quick one, because against the Steelers defense that is incredibly depleted, okay, a lot of guys not starting on this defense, you are basically starting almost every Buccaneer. Like, you're starting Brady, you're starting Fournette, you're starting Evans and Godwin. I think you're not really starting Brady really any week. I don't think you're starting Rashad White right now either. Still just a handcuff.
I have to start Rashad White this week, but it's because I think that there's some blowout potential here, and I think they rest up Leonard Fournette and they'll use him. Just a couple stats. Pittsburgh giving up the fifth most points per game to opposing QBs and the most points to opposing wide receivers. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to the moon, because no Minkah Fitzpatrick, no Levi Wallace. This one is going to be a bleep show.
Yeah, you don't want to start any. Don't start the Steelers defense. Let's put it that way.
No.
Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, probably the usual suspects right now for the Steelers. It's interesting, right? Like, Deontay Johnson, he got the knee to the hip, but apparently he is fine. This was in practice, right, on Wednesday, but he insists he's fine, and he had a 13 target outing against the Bills. So I'm curious to see what the target, like, the quality of targets are, because 13 targets, but still only five of them he caught for 60 yards. So still, going away from Mitch Trubisky certainly has benefited Deontay, but probably still WR2 for me for him, and maybe WR3 for Pickens.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty safe. Deontay Johnson, he had one catch that was called back in that game. It was a great effort. He just couldn't get his back foot down. No Pat Freiermuth today either. So I think that we're going to see a ton of Deontay, a ton of George Pickens. Pickens, six catches, 63 yards, led all Pittsburgh receivers last week. Kenny Pickett had over 300 yards last week. They were scoreless yards, but I expect them to throw a lot again. And for those out there who maybe have some issues at running back, monitor Jalen Warren's usage. Najee Harris looks very banged up, and they talked about getting Jalen Warren the ball more because he's looked really good. So keep an eye on that in this matchup.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a good breakdown for it. And again, yeah, Najee Harris. I think if you have to, you can flex him. But I think just keep your expectations low for him. Given, again, like, maybe he's dealing with something. Maybe it's the offensive line play. Maybe it is C, all of the above. Right. So yeah, I think you're just keep an eye on the usage for Najee Harris going forward. Let's go to the next one. Panthers at Rams. PJ Walker is starting, which, again, you mentioned this when we talked about DJ Moore earlier. I'm curious. It can't get much worse for Carolina Panthers pass catchers. And we have seen PJ Walker in the last couple of years. XFL legend PJ Walker, by the way. We have seen him produce at times for wide receivers. Himself, probably not a start. But Christian McCaffrey, again, is like the lone bright spot on this offense. for the Carolina Panthers. For the Rams, Stafford, I look at him as a QB2 because he's only had one game all season above 15 points, and the Rams' offensive line has been abysmal. It has been so terrible. But Cam Akers, the running back situation is really what interests me here because you're starting Cooper Kupp no matter what. So the running back situation, Cam Akers might, like, he's, like, away from the team or something. Like, he may not ever play for them again. So if that's the case, I saw some notes on Twitter that Darrell Henderson is going to be given every chance to grab the workload. So that's good if you grabbed him towards the end of your drafts. But they're apparently also going to involve a whole bunch of other guys. Malcolm Brown, the rookie, Kyren Williams, they really like. So I guess stash Kyren Williams if you can, if you have the IR space. And I guess you're starting Darrell Henderson probably this week.
Yeah, I think you are. I'm not even comfortable starting Matthew Stafford at this point. Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, volume-based tight end one. He has 9 targets in four of the first 5 weeks. He actually leads all tight ends in targets. Darrell Henderson, you're starting today. Don't touch Malcolm Brown. Stash Kyren Williams. And there's something named Ronnie Rivers that apparently is going to be getting carries for the Rams today. Whoever Ronnie Rivers, I don't know who Ronnie Rivers is, and I think I know a lot about football. So that would be something to keep an eye on. But Darrell Henderson seems to be the guy there. What it sounds like with Cam Akers, from what I was reading from Ian Rappaport, is it is a philosophical difference between Cam Akers and Sean McVay on his usage. Weird. And I think he's just finally said, I've had enough. Like, you got to get me out of here. Good for him. I don't know where he ends up. Could be a better spot. Man, it would be better running behind any other offensive line other than what the Rams are throwing out there, because it is, like you said, it is abysmal. If there's a word worse than abysmal, because I'm not a scholar, then it is that. That is what the Rams are.
And Tyler Higbee, by the way, is active. He is going to play today. He's going to give it a go despite the injury news coming into today. Next start sit, Cards at Seahawks. This is going to be, I think, you're starting Kyler Murray anyways, but against a Seahawks defense that is frankly awful, also abysmal. That is awful. You're starting Kyler Murray, and again, there's a real chance. He's already a QB1. He has been like a top 12 option in basically 4 or 5 weeks, which is always pretty good. He has some, even if the games have not been particularly close for the Cards in the end, and some of them have been, I think he's still a pretty good option. James Conner is out, so you're starting Eno Benjamin because he's a clear RB2, I would say, even with the rushing upside for someone like Kyler Murray. And Marquise Brown, I mean, the guy's a WR1. There's no other way to say it. He gets a ton of targets. I don't really think that's going to change too much when DeAndre Hopkins returns next week, but for now, you can fire up Marquise Brown, I would say. And for the Seattle Seahawks here, no Rashad Penny. He is out for the year, which means you are firing up Kenneth Walker III. We talked about Geno Smith earlier, QB7 in fantasy points per game on the season, which is absolutely terrific. DJ Dallas, maybe he's the handcuff now. I can't expect he's going to be too involved here, but Ken Walker probably going to see the majority of touches. And under Geno Smith, both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett have been WR2s, if not better, Matt.
Yeah, they have been. Lockett's been really good. He did pop up on the injury report, but he is off, so nothing really to monitor there. There's just one thing I wanted to add on the Cardinals. Zach Ertz in a great spot. Seattle's allowing the most points per game to tight end, so that's someone that I would keep an eye on and be starting pretty comfortably today. But yeah, on the Seattle side, it feels like Ken Walker is just going to get a ton of work today. It really does. Like, they'll use him in the passing game. I do think DJ Dallas will be a little bit involved because I'm not sure that Walker is going to get, like, you know, 25 touches. But DJ Dallas, in a game that I expect is going to be a shootout, may have a little bit of value as the handcuff because we've seen how the Seahawks like to use the running backs under Pete Carroll. But yeah, Geno Smith, really, really good start for him today.
Bills at Chiefs is our next one here. We only have 3 games to go. And look, you're starting all the guys you know. You don't need us to tell you to start Josh Allen or Stephon Diggs. But when it comes to Devin Singletary, lowest snap share last week in a blowout win over the Steelers. He's only had really 2 RB2 weeks this year. Again, maybe the Chiefs have allowed the most receiving yards to running backs, so I think maybe you can fire up Singletary as a flex play this week. Apart from him, though, Gabe Davis, McKenzie, those guys are obviously startable, but other than Davis, who is probably a WR2, those other guys are also just flex plays for me.
Yeah, Isaiah McKenzie's an interesting flex spot start. Like, if you have some issues in the flex or at wide receiver, I think he's kind of sneaky good. And he missed last week with the concussion, but I believe he has 3 touchdowns on the season in 4 games. So he's in a good spot. Singletary, I agree, flex spot as well. He had a great game against the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. I feel like everybody on the Bills had a great game against the Chiefs, except, you know, Sean McDermott, who, anyway, we're not going to get into that. But, yeah, is there any... Can we be more hyperbolic to describe this game today as the game of the season, and then it could end up being a dud? I don't think it's going to be, but that's what everybody's been talking about, because the game we saw in the playoffs last year was arguably the greatest game we've ever seen anyway.
17-14 is going to be the final score of this game. That's what I'm thinking. Pat Mahomes, you're starting him for the Chiefs, obviously. And look, you're starting Travis Kelce. The guy got 4 touchdowns last week. Absolutely ridiculous stuff. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire, RB2 for me. It was the first time this season that CEH was outside of the RB2 rankings. He's used a lot in the receiving game, and against a pretty stout Bills defense, I expect that to continue. Jerick McKinnon also, 53 rushing yards on 8 carries. So I don't know if that's going to be quite as efficient, but again, I think I'm still sitting McKinnon in favor of CEH, who again is, again, RB2, RB3, thereabouts, because we know Patrick Mahomes likes to throw the ball. But apart from Travis Kelce, all of the other pass catchers, MVS, Hardman, Juju, are all flex plays.
Yeah, and Juju's been a little bit disappointing. MVS was the better receiver last week against the Raiders, but you're right. They're back end wide receiver 3 flex plays. Like, I don't trust Mecole Hardman. If I had to choose between those guys, it would be Juju or MVS. I would be leaving Mecole Hardman on the bench, because we've heard about him for a few years now, and it's just never come to fruition. As per the running back, CEH, it's just tough. The Bills' run defense has been really good, and it's just, I mean, you're kind of hoping for a touchdown for him, but like you said, he's used in the passing game a little bit. McKinnon's used in the passing game a little bit. I would expect nothing more than RB2 or flex numbers from those guys this week.
For Cowboys and Eagles, which is a Sunday nighter, we talked about how Dak is out. Zeke is probably a flex play at best. But from the pass catching side of things, apart from CeeDee Lamb, are you starting anyone on this Dallas offense?
I am not, because I haven't seen enough from Michael Gallup. And the Eagles' pass defense has been pretty good. Aside from last week was a little bit of a tough matchup against the Cardinals, even though I feel like the Eagles should have just done better. But, yeah, I'm like Michael Gallup, if you have some issues, maybe you start him in the flex. CeeDee Lamb, obviously a locked-in starter. The Eagles have given up 5 rushing touchdowns in 5 games. So there is some upside here with Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Zeke has at least 15 carries in all but one game. Tony Pollard has at least 8 carries in all but one game, and he's averaging 5.6 yards per carry. Pollard's an interesting flex option. Zeke is in that RB2 flex conversation as well. But I do think that there is some touchdown upside with a guy like Ezekiel Elliott this week.
On the Eagle side of things, I mean, you know the usual suspects for this one, too. Hurts, Sanders have both been very, very, very efficient so far this year. Hurts has been more than efficient. He's been absolutely phenomenal. Sanders, probably a flex play for me. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. I mean, they're both in that mid to back end WR2 categories. And apart from that, Dallas Goedert, you know, he's pretty consistent. So because of that consistency, I think he is a TE1 basically every single week. It just, you know, he may not get you like 10, 15 points every week, but still he's consistent enough to always start. So he's an auto start for me unless he's injured or obviously a bye week. But A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, we talked about them earlier. Yeah, the mid-tier WR2 category with the hope for more for A.J. Brown. And let's wrap up, Matt, with Broncos at Chargers, the Monday nighter. Not a great week for Russell Wilson. Not a great season for Russell Wilson, but beyond him, Melvin Gordon, a higher-end RB2. He put up 13.3 points in his first start, and maybe some revenge game. Maybe revenge, hashtag revenge for Gordon against his former team. And again, apart from him, Cortland Sutton is probably the most reliable pass-catching option. You know, I guess he can start Jerry Jeudy, but for me, he's nothing more than a WR3.
Yeah, I've actually got Jerry Jeudy in a flex, and I love Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton, probably a low-end wide receiver, too. And honestly, Russ is close to unstartable at this point, Show.
Yeah, you might have
like,
to
he's been he aside from the week one game against the Seahawks, which we found out that the Seahawks defense sucks. So, I mean, was it really all that impressive what he did? I like both Melvin Gordon and Mike Boone. I like Mike Boone as a flex play this week because he was used in the passing game. I think he had 83 or 84 total yards last week, which is really good if he's the second guy in that offense. And they used him in the screen game. He was very efficient. So I like Mike Boone. I like Melvin Gordon this week. And, Russ, I'm staying away from Russell Wilson.
Probably a good idea. He's not been very good this season. Maybe he's washed. I don't know. But he has not been great so far in 2022.
And dealing with a shoulder injury. Yeah, and, that doesn't help.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't help. And on the Chargers side of things, we'll wrap up here. Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler, you're starting. No Keenan Allen. He hasn't been officially ruled out, but he is doubtful with the hamstring injury. So I would just get him out of there now, which means you're obviously starting Mike Williams. Do you start Josh Palmer? Do you wait until Monday night to start Josh Palmer?
No, I don't. The Broncos have been great defensively. 32nd. So they are the best team against wide receivers. They're the 23rd. They've allowed the 23rd least points to QBs, and against tight ends, they've allowed the third fewest points. So this is just a tough matchup all around for the Chargers. I don't anticipate it's going to be a shootout. I would start Mike Williams, but after that, no pass catching options for me for the Los Angeles Chargers.
That does it for our start sits here on the Fantasy Show with 30 seconds to spare. Good for us. We did it.
We did it. We boogied. We all boogied. Right.
Matt, wish me luck with starting Taysom Hill. Best of luck with your matchups this week, and best of luck to everyone out there for their start sits, your fantasy football matchups. We're here 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern every Sunday morning. We'll answer all of your questions on the People's Text Line at 590-590, name and location. You've been listening to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
If I'm not back in 5 minutes, just wait longer.